So, my dear, the day you have always dreamed of has arrived. The day you become Bride of Chaotica!
Hello, and welcome to the Brides of Chaotica, a chaotic Star Trek podcast. I'm Taylor, a relatively bona fide Trekkie, and today I am joined not by my regular co-host Elizabeth, but instead by my best friend from the place that I'm from.
Keep the details private.
We try to keep the details private, but honestly, if you go onto my Instagram, you'll pretty much know everything, so it's mute at this point, but my friend Masai, say hello.
Hello, everyone. What's going on? I will be Elizabeth and bring the chaos this time. Mm-hmm. I also have never been on a podcast before, so this is very exciting.
We're popping your podcast cherry. That's so exciting.
Glad to be here.
Please don't show your parents this podcast. Do not tell your parents that this exists.
They might come across it. They are big Trekkies.
I know. What a great segue. So, one thing that I like to ask people who haven't been on the podcast before, what their relationship and exposure to Star Trek is. So, I know that you have some prior Trek knowledge already, but go ahead and just tell me what your exposure has been. Because for me, it was, like, before I started watching Star Trek, it was just, like, the Big Bang Theory guys liked Star Trek, and so I wasn't going to watch it. And then,
fair.
And then my mom was like, oh, yeah, my brother watches it. And I was like, oh.
Also not going to watch
it. Not going to watch it. And then I, obviously, that doesn't matter anymore.
No, because you are a bona fide Trekkie now.
Relatively.
What?
I always say, so I know that I'm a Trekkie, but I started in the intro changing it to relatively bona fide Trekkie because I feel like, you know, I haven't seen Enterprise and I haven't seen all the movies, so.
There's still time.
But I'm also like, if you like Star Trek, you're a Trekkie in my brain.
Yeah.
So.
Isn't that the wonderful thing about being a Trekkie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a very open and inclusive community.
I agree. Yeah. Sorry, I'm drinking coffee. Like the little Janeway lover that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, your turn.
All right. Well, I have known about Star Trek for a long time. My parents, as I mentioned, are Trek enthusiasts. And so I watched it as like a kid a little bit, but I didn't really get that into it. They watched the original series and Next Generation. And now they're like rewatching Deep Space Nine or something. I don't know. Sometimes I'll walk in and see that on the TV. But I was never really super into it. It's more of my sister's thing. So
interesting.
Yeah, I know. I don't think you would think that looking at the two of us, but yeah, she's like seen.
I would clock you as the one that watches Trek with the parents, honestly.
I know, but no, it was really like their thing. Like she had the whole intro memorized for a bit. Yeah, it was
India.
Pretty intense. Yeah, it was pretty intense. So but I have seen the movies, the old ones and the new ones.
And the new ones.
Yeah.
So have you seen the one with the whales then?
Whales. Wait, what? Wait, there's whales? Okay,
so they're, because there's...
Is it, like, new? Because I'm not, like, new, but, like,
no,
Chris
that's
Pine
the old
ones.
One.
Oh, the old... Probably.
Got
I probably
it.
Saw it just forever ago.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
But you've seen the Chris Pine ones, yeah.
Yes, seen the Chris Pine ones.
Well, yeah, because Zoe Saldana's in that one, and she's amazing.
Yeah.
Chris Pine.
Love her. Chris Pine.
Zachary Quinto?
Zachary Quinto's in it. They got a whole huge cast. I'm fighting the urge not to look it up right now because that's what I do. But
Elizabeth does it too. It's an ADHD.
Oh, okay.
You're fine.
Cool. Perfect. Yeah. So just slotting right into her shoes. No, but I saw the original movies when I was young, so I don't really remember them that much. I think that's my thing is that it's been a part of my life, but it's just kind of been in the background.
Got
so
it.
So I
not
know
like at the forefront.
Stuff, but not like details.
When you say the movies that you've watched, do you mean the ones with Patrick Stewart? Or do you mean the ones with Captain Kirk?
Both. I've seen
both.
Oh,
wow.
Well, I haven't, I think, because there's two with Captain Kirk, right? No, I don't know.
So there's, I believe, five
with
Captain Kirk.
Oh, shoot.
Because there's...
No.
Hold on. I'm getting my phone.
Okay.
There's three, because I have a...
We cannot...
I have a Google spreadsheet with every fun fact about Taylor. I have a Google spreadsheet with every single episode of Star Trek as well as every single movie on there because I can't always decide which one to watch. Mm-hmm. So I just put them in a spinner wheel and it selects one for
me. Hey, that takes so much stress out of it. That makes a lot of sense.
So there are, hold on. The movies are at the bottom. So there are 7 movies with Captain Kirk and then 3 with Patrick Stewart and then the 3 Chris Pine.
Okay, so I think that I've seen the 3 with Patrick Stewart and the 3 with Chris Pine, and I may have seen 1 or 2 with Captain Kirk. We okay. cannot show this podcast to my father. He will be so disappointed in me.
So, but if I do, if your father does come across this podcast, you will have to watch Star Trek more. You know
yeah,
that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
he will take it upon himself.
I know he will.
Yeah. So that's my experience with Star Trek in a nutshell.
So
kind of.
Yeah. I think in a nutshell is yeah.
In like a chaotic nutshell.
We're staying on brand, folks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Question. Mm-hmm. So you say that your parents watched Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
What do you know about Deep Space Nine?
I know that it has a black captain.
Yes.
And that his son is also on the ship.
Yes.
And they got these, are they called Ferengi?
Yeah.
With the big ears.
Yeah.
And there's like a bar on Deep Space Nine.
Quarks.
Yeah, that they all kind of hang out at.
Mm-hmm.
There's this lady who's like half Klingon. And like, she has like the forehead wrinkles, but like she looks like a person.
Oh, that's so you're thinking of Voyager's B'Elanna Torres, actually.
Oh, wait, okay. Wait, doesn't she make a cameo or anything?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe. Oh, no. Who I'm thinking of? She has like cheetah spots, I think.
Oh, that's Jadzia Dax.
Yeah, and isn't she married to someone? She's married to Worf.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, she is married to Worf, but so she's a Trill.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about Trill?
No.
So Trill are this species, this like symbiotic species. I just had this conversation with Elizabeth actually because we watched an episode about it. Trill are a symbiotic species where there's like the humanoid versions and then there's these slug things. But there's like a limited amount of slug things on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So they get transferred from host to host.
Mm-hmm.
So the Trill can live like hundreds of years or whatever, but they're just in different lifetimes, essentially. So Jadzia Dax is on her, like, 7th life, technically. So Dax is the symbiont, guys. I think.
Symbiote?
Symbiont.
Okay.
I remember because I, like, really got it wrong during the episode when we were talking about nothing but these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up, and it's one of those things where it's like, you know how there are certain words where you're like, I know it's pronounced this way, but I keep saying it this way.
Yeah.
That's symbiote versus symbiont for me.
Yeah.
But it's a symbiont is what the little slug is called. And so she's like on, so this Dax, like Jadzia, the like girl that you see with the like spots, she's on her like 7th lifetime. So she technically has all of the memories and knowledge of the past hosts.
Yeah.
But her last host was like super ingrained in Klingon culture, and then she fell in love with Worf, and they
because of that. Yeah, okay, I did kind of know that.
But they honestly have the cutest loves. They're so cute. I love them together.
Yeah,
I really do.
I don't think I can't think of anything else from Deep Space Nine at the moment. That's basically it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. I love it. That's actually a really great place to be for this episode.
Well, I'm glad. Yay.
So Elizabeth does what we call unhinged prediction time with Elizabeth's mind.
She does.
Now you're a co-host here, so you get to choose whether or not you want to do that and what your title will be. So, would you like to be Satan's robot?
Oh.
Oh God, what the fuck is the,
off to a strong start.
So there's Satan's robot. There is why can't I remember any of their names? I'm a bad host.
Wait, what are these names?
They're just random characters from the Bride of Kayaka episode that our podcast is named for.
Got you. Okay.
Good heart. Secretary. Satan's robot, Constance Goodheart, or Buster Kincaid. What would you like to be?
Wait. Okay, Satan's robot, Constance
Goodheart.
Goodheart or Buster Kincaid? Okay. Wow, what options these are. I kind of feel like I have, you started with Satan's, what is it?
Satan's robot.
I guess I'll be Satan's robot.
Perfect. So this is going to be unhinged prediction time with Satan's robot's mind. So I'm just going to tell you what the episode title is, and you're going to tell me what you think it's going to be about.
All right.
Are you ready? I'll give you some thinking time.
All right. I am so ready.
So this episode of Deep Space Nine, so you have a somewhat of a cast of characters in there. It's called Blood Oath.
Ooh. Blood Oath. Okay. So I think that since there is a blood oath in the title, that there is going to be some type of oath that is being upheld by a blood pact. Maybe there's a cult involved. Maybe, because Deep Space Nine isn't they don't do the exploring in the same way, do they?
Not as much.
Right. No. They kind of just stay on the space. Okay. Yeah. So maybe there's like a guest of beings that come on to the you're making a face.
No, I always make faces during the predictions because I love it.
Okay. So maybe there's like a group of beings that come on to the, what is it called? The station.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like guests and they're all entertaining them. And as the beings are there, they're kind of like maybe proselytizing a bit. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. And so then maybe there's this one character who gets kind of really into it. And then they want them to make a blood oath to be a part of their group.
Okay.
And that's all I have. Sorry, I don't
know. No. So one thing that I love about Star Trek. So this is a joke that I have with Morgan and James, my roommates, is that I tell them, give me a topic and there's a Star Trek episode about it.
Yeah. So that, I assume that I just described a different episode?
So there is kind of an episode that has a cult involved in the Deep Space Nine series, actually.
Oh, sick. Oh,
which,
my God.
Which I love. I think it's so fun and crazy. But I also have a thing with cults.
We also were just speaking about cult mindsets earlier today.
That's so true.
Maybe that's where my brain went.
But also Blood Oath, like, that does
give cult a little bit.
Yeah. You're wrong, but that's okay.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew going in I was not going to be on the money with this, definitely.
But you're not on the money in that there's a different episode.
Okay.
That's not unlike that.
Hmm.
Honestly, for the listeners, Gul Dukat and his little cult, I fuck with that weird storyline so hard. It's so fun.
Aww.
It's big bad. Gul Dukat is one of the big bads, but I'm just like, this little cult thing that you had on the side.
Kind of a slay.
I enjoy watching that go down.
Mm.
But I like cults.
Yeah, they're very fascinating.
They are.
Yeah. All the mindset stuff and the psychology behind it.
Yeah, I just watched an episode of What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
Where this woman had this ex-vampire cult. So she was like, let's have a cult, but we ritualistically like tear out our fangs every night and try to act human. Oh. And then she fucking committed like a Jonestown. Sorry if you've haven't seen What We Do in the Shadows. I should have put the spoiler earlier, but I'm about to talk about...
Spoiler alert!
It's just one episode. It's like a random episode. But she like fully does a Jonestown thing where she's like, it's time for us to be humans and go into the sun. And she opens the door and they all run out and burn. And then she just closes it and then just flies away as a bat. She's like, oop.
Wow. Spot on cult leader.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of dip when the things get too serious.
When they get too serious and everybody's ready to kill themselves.
Yeah.
And then you're like, but I'm not going to.
Like, not me, though.
I don't count.
You just, like, fade into the shadows with a peace sign.
No, literally. Anyway, there's a cult plot line
yeah.
in Deep Space Nine. All right, so we're going to go watch this episode.
Was this just like the greatest intro ever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, Elizabeth and I have been getting really chaotic, and our intros have been like 30 minutes recently, which is a lot. So honestly, the fact that we're at 15 right now is pretty, I'm pretty happy.
Keep
with
it
that.
Short and sweet.
I'm pretty happy with that. Well, because I had to institute a timer with Elizabeth for the unhinged prediction time, but she keeps, and she knows that I'm mad at her, so I'm not talking behind her back. she knows that I don't like that she does this. She sets the timer for 4 minutes, and then when it goes off, she's like, but just give me more time, and then just keeps talking, and I'm like, this is why we have the timer, but.
Well, it's a chaotic, it's part Star of, Trek podcast.
It's part of
da, the. Da, da, da. I don't know. All right. Leave me alone. I don't know. Let's go watch.
No, you're fine. Let's go watch. Bye.
Hi.
We are back. From watching Blood Oath, Deep Space Nine. I'm really tired. I got hit with a wave of I want to go back to bed, but
it's okay. You've done a lot. You did a whole thing of laundry. You were folding stuff. You made food.
I've done so much.
That's a lot, I think.
Okay.
In the short, what was it, hour and 15 minutes that we watched the.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think this is. Listen to your body, Taylor.
All right. So. Masai.
Taylor.
What did you think of the episode?
I liked it. It was really fun. It was like honor and sacrifice and relationship. What?
Yes.
It was great. I loved it. I loved it. It's like a very like the past lives came in. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. It was a fun time.
All right. Whenever I get a new person on, I'm always like, well, how do we do this? Do we do just a full recap?
We could do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
That seems like the way to go.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I think we're venturing into like the delirium stage.
I think we are, but
we
can
make this really funny.
I think it'll be really funny.
Yeah. We will see.
So, I don't even know what to ask.
Okay.
Hold on. First impressions, Klingon culture.
It's very intense.
Klingon culture is very intense.
I respect it.
I mean, we start out with, was it Kor in the, like, holosuite, like, refusing to come out or he'll kill Quark?
Was that what was happening?
Yeah, he was in like a holo simulation of a battle, a Klingon battle.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, wait, do you have any burning questions where you were like, what the fuck is this?
No, I don't think so. I think the beginning I was like, oh, they're just dropping us in. Like they just kind of do that a lot. So I was like, just for the beginning part, because I did recognize that one guy, the Ferengi, like his name is Quark.
Quark.
Quark, yeah. Because, you know, I've just seen his face over the years.
Yeah.
Also, fun fact, he is the principal in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Armin Shimmerman?
It's the same. Really? Same actor. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I was watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I was like, oh my god, that's the one guy from the show that my parents watch.
No. That's the Ferengi.
Yeah. I was like, I feel like I've seen him before, except he was
Donald
orange.
Trump just a Ferengi? Sorry, out of pocket.
Somebody should Photoshop that. Please, Photoshop that.
That has to exist already.
Probably.
That already has to
exist. If not, like, we could go to, like, Meta AI or some Chat GPT or something and just make it, you know.
And tell them to make, yeah.
Yeah. But that would make a lot of sense. Except, is that offensive to the Ferengi?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Like, I feel bad, but also.
But also, yeah.
Wait. There's like a, isn't Donald Trump really just an orange Ferengi? So
I mean, Ferengi are already orange, clearly.
So they are.
I don't even think it's that much. So you don't even need to do that much.
That is why. Okay, so I'm definitely not the first person.
Oh my God, that's terrifying. I hate it.
I'm not even gonna post that picture so that the listeners can see, because I don't want anybody to see that.
It's very considerate of you. I'm traumatized for life.
I'm sorry.
That is gonna show up in my nightmares. I think that might be my sleep paralysis demon after this.
That's fair.
Anyways, yeah.
Anyway, Armin Shimmerman. Yay!
Yeah, yay! Yay! Armin Shimmerman. Armin Shimmerman. Oh, my God. I did not know that sounded as bitch. Sorry.
Armin Shimmerman.
I got halfway through his name and my mouth just gave up. I'm so sorry. That was not intentional.
Armin Shimmerman, if you're listening to this, Moss, I apologize.
I'm so sorry. As a person with a name that is difficult to pronounce for some people, I deeply apologize.
Yeah.
How
many different ways have you heard your name?
Way too many to count. I always tell people that my favorite version is when someone read it off like an attendance list, and they just fully gave, they didn't even try. They just said, they were like, Sarah, Lily, Martha. I was like, who is Martha? There's no R, there's no T, there's no H. There's just the M and the A. So yeah, I don't know where that came from.
It doesn't even, your name doesn't even end with an A.
No.
It ends with an I.
With an I. That is correct.
So, Quark,
right.
Armin Shimmerman.
Armin Shimmerman.
Yes.
Well, is Quark. And they open up with him complaining about a Klingon guy. And then there's this other guy Klingon who looks kind of like he, I'm not actually going to do that. No, I was just going to say he looks kind of like he pressed his face into like plastic wrap.
You know? Oh my God, he does.
Yeah.
He totally does.
Which I think is a really cool, interesting way to like conceptualize character design.
Yeah.
Just like think about very mundane things and then put it into like a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into like skin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's happening.
But yeah, because I feel like as a kid, like, you know, when you like mess around with random stuff, like, yeah. I feel like we've all, I mean, I won't speak for you, but I have. I've definitely pressed my face into like the plastic wrap
just to see like what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah, see what it like looks like and feels like.
Yeah.
So,
do you know why his face looks like that?
No.
Do you want to know?
Sure.
Because he's a shapeshifter and faces are hard.
Oh, adorable! Wait, that's so cute.
That's like why? Because he's like, I kind of got really it, hard. But I can't get the details quite yet.
Yeah. Oh, it's like the most wholesome aspect of the Uncanny Valley effect.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So they're talking and he gets taken to the brig.
Yeah.
Not Quark, the drunk Klingon.
But yeah, cuz Quark and the
Odo.
Shapeshifter guy are like
Odo.
Odo. So Quark and Odo are like, there's this crazy Klingon and he's drunk, and then you hear him like yelling from like a room, and
cuz he's like mid battle.
Yeah. And they're referencing this, like, big battle that I won't try to say the name of.
I don't even... I'm sure... I'm not one of the Trekkies that knows, I'm sure they're out there.
It's a very large, significant battle in Klingon history, I presume.
That's what it sounded... Like, they made it sound that
way. Just from their storytelling.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then he gets taken to the bridge. And
the brig.
The brig. Bridge. Brig. Sorry.
You don't have to apologize.
He gets taken to the brig, and he is passed out in what looks like a very fancy jail cell.
Yeah. Honestly, the brigs in Star Trek are very fancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They
look kind of nice, actually.
You know, not the most uncomfortable brig I've ever seen. I mean, I've never been in one, but...
Disclaimer, Taylor has never been to jail.
I've never been to jail. There's still time.
Yeah, we're still young.
But it doesn't look uncomfortable.
No, and he's
passed out.
He is sleeping.
But drunk people can't sleep pretty much anywhere.
That is true. And he is fully, like, starfished.
I have done that rig. On a floor before.
As have I.
I know.
Sorry, Mom and Dad.
I'm not sorry. Koloth comes.
Yes.
The new Klingon guy.
The older one.
The older one.
And he has kind of, like, white hair.
Yeah. Like all the
I mean, they're all kind of old.
All the Klingons in this episode are pretty old.
Question.
Yes?
Later, when, what's his name? The shapeshifter.
Odo?
Odo. He Was he making a joke about how old they were? Is that literally how old Klingons are? Because he was like, one of them is about 100 years old, and the other one is like 150.
I don't know.
Was he joking, or was he like, no, this is literally...
Let's look it up and find out.
Because also, I am more used to, like, understanding, like, when things are being very literal because of, like, the Vulcans, you know? Mm-hmm. But in this, I'm like, I don't know. Even though he's a shapeshifter, does he understand humor? Is that, like, a thing that he gets it?
Yeah.
He gets it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, most people in this series do.
Okay. I mean, so do Vulcans, but it's also, like, clear when they're,
Vulcans
like...
Vulcans are logical and sassy.
Yeah, they're very sassy.
They're so sassy. They won't tell you that they're sassy, but they are.
Right. They're, like, they almost use their logic and straightforwardness to be very passive aggressive.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And therefore, it is funny.
Klingon's lifespan can reach 150 years.
Okay, so then he wasn't making a joke?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's what it seems like.
So then...
On the one post that I read, that's it. So we're just going to go with that. So he was being serious.
Got it.
But also making a joke at the same time and being like, they're really old.
Really old, and they're drunk, and they're yelling about some old battle, and I don't really know what to do about it.
And, well, the one Klingon is like, I'm here for him, and then he's like, nah, you're too drunk.
Literally, he says, keep him.
Keep him.
He was like, sober up. You can keep him. And he walked away, like, he was like, never mind.
He was like, God. I feel like, because this guy, like, he does it all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You this can tell. His... Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like this is, we don't see him very often. Well, does he die at the end?
Yeah, he did die.
Two of them die.
They didn't say who the third.
Koloth dies.
Koloth and the main one.
Kang. Okay.
Kang so Kor, and Koloth.
Kor lives?
Because he is injured.
Yeah.
But then they don't really say anything because at the end, it's just the lady.
Yeah.
Dax.
Like going back to work. And everybody being really disappointed that she went at all.
Yeah, being very disappointed.
Did she kill anyone?
No, she didn't.
She didn't kill anyone.
She didn't kill anyone
she
at all.
She was just there, she helping.
She was being their moral support.
She was just an accessory.
And their physical support a little bit, because she did kind of help in the battle.
She's a badass.
Yeah, she slayed.
Jadzia Dax is, like, one of the most badass characters.
Okay, just side note, every time you say her name, it sounds like you're saying Jadzia Dax.
Jadzia Dax. Jadzia.
Jadzia Dax.
Jadzia Dax.
Jadzia.
I named one of my plants in my old apartment Jadzia.
Aw, that sounds like a good plant name.
It was. Okay. I don't know what happened. She might be alive.
I
gave all my plants to my cousin when I moved.
Well.
I had Jadzia and I had Nog. And I had Nerys.
All Star Trek characters.
Deep Space Nine characters, because I was watching it when I got all of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cute.
So. So. Dax goes to the brig. Because they're like, on the bridge area. The, like, control center or whatever. And they're like, these Klingons are in the place.
Yeah. Like, Dax, come help us with these Klingons, because you know more about Klingon stuff.
Yeah. And she hears the names, and she's like, Koloth?
She's like,
Kang?
My friends.
Mm-hmm.
My buddies.
And she goes, blood oath.
Yeah.
But we don't know about it yet.
We don't know about the blood oath yet, but she's very excited to meet them. And then she meets the first guy who's really drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, hey, I knew you back when. And he's like, no, you didn't. You're a lady. And she's like,
You're a lady. And also really young.
And also really young and also kind of hot. Hello.
Which, honestly,
yeah,
fair.
Yeah.
All of those things are true.
Yeah. And she's like, ha ha ha, here's some really obscure knowledge that no one else but me knows. And then he's like, my old friend, oh my gosh, so good to see you. We gotta go tell the others.
So one of my favorite things about this episode is, so a lot of trans individuals relate to Jadzia Dax because the symbiont has had so many different lifetimes that it's like, they've been, like Dax has been a mother and a father. And, like, multiple times, and, like Sisko, the captain, still calls her old man, because he knew her as Curzon, and people love this scene as a way to adjust, like, your pronouns and, like, names with people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, he's like, Curzon, my old friend. And she's like, thanks, but it's Jadzia now. And then he goes, Jadzia, my old friend.
It was so
and
cute.
It's so cute and wholesome because, guys, it's that easy.
It is.
All you have to do is be like, hey, I go by this now, and be like, okay.
Literally, that's it.
Because guess what? That doesn't harm you at all.
Yeah.
Anyway.
PSA.
Yes. PSA.
Respect your trans friends. Hello.
Please do.
Yeah.
All right.
So they're like, oh, sick. We knew each other. And then she's like, yeah, I want to go talk to the other people who I used to know. Right?
Yes.
And then they kind of have like a meeting. That's yeah. All three of the Klingons plus her.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kang guy is like, I don't know you. This is weird. This is Klingon business, basically.
Yeah.
And she's like, I know you. I was godfather to your son. And he was like, no, you weren't. That was
Curzon.
And she was like, I was Curzon. And he's like, prove it. And then she proves it somehow. I forget how.
I also forget how. But I wrote down in my notes, pronouns mean nothing in this scene because they switched
all the time.
The whole time with Jadzia.
Yeah.
They're like, well, he and she, well, you're the godfather. It's so.
The godfather, he, she, they.
Because guess what?
It doesn't matter. And it's also easy. It's actually so much easier than people realize.
I agree. So they're, the like, guy is like, I've found the albino.
Yeah, and we have no idea what the albino is.
No. That is also,
and
like,
that low-key feels a little dicey, the way they just keep saying, the albino.
You can say dicey. You can.
Like, the whole time I was like, oh, are we gonna change that?
No.
Okay.
1994?
Hey, you know, very progressive for the time.
Yeah.
Well.
They can change pronouns.
Literally.
Easily.
Yeah. You win some, you lose some.
But they will call this man
the albino the entire time. He doesn't have a name, actually.
He doesn't.
That is his name.
Could you imagine getting the cast list and being like, and I am the albino.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. That sounds cool, I guess.
Like.
Yeah.
From everyone, too. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's really funny, actually.
Yeah.
Also,
I think, you know, maybe he kind of deserves it because he was this really bad guy who, like, poisoned children and, like, murdered a bunch of people.
But I feel like that's really bad representation for humans that are just albino.
Oh, I know, right?
Actually, have you seen The Heat with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy?
No, I haven't.
So, in that, they, like, go undercover and one of the characters is this albino guy. And the whole time, Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy specifically is like, you're the bad guy to the albino guy. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, stop this. And then at one point you find out he wasn't the bad guy and he gets killed. And then, like, one of them goes, God, not the albino. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because I am sure, like, in media, like, people that are albino are often portrayed.
Yeah, as like, demons.
Villains and demons. So.
Yeah, that's pretty.
This is just perpetuating that.
It really is. Because it's like, I feel like we can't. Yeah. I feel like we can only start getting to that point if we fix it first. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, we gotta make sure that we're all on the same page mm-hmm. in equality and representation before you can then just start referring to people by their most prominent feature.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree. Absolutely.
I feel like that's common sense.
You're allowed to have full opinions on this podcast.
Right.
I'm pretty sure on the last one we talk about our support for Kamala Harris. So, like,
oh, nice.
Like we're this podcast has opinions.
Hey, this is a chaotic podcast.
With opinions.
So, yeah, they keep referring to this guy as the albino, which is just like, okay, I'm just going to ignore that. And he was this really terrible guy. But they didn't mention that until later in the episode.
No.
We were just kind of like, okay, they have this weird vendetta against this albino person.
It's not until, like, Girl Talk Fun Times with Kira that we actually find out the plot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of, like, leading up to it where I feel like the audience is kind of left in, like, what is happening.
Yeah.
But I do like this whole scene because what? Don't make a new face as a new soul. Don't confuse. I think I wrote down this line wrong.
Oh.
But Jadzia says something like, don't confuse a new face with a new soul or something. Mm, I liked that line.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I remember everything. Mm-hmm. I still have that relationship with you because I have those memories. Mm-hmm. My soul is the same. Mm-hmm. My face is just different.
I feel like this is honestly like a key episode for why a lot of trans people relate to Jadzia Dax, especially seeing this episode like in the early 90s, like mid-90s.
Oh,
when
yeah.
When trans representation wasn't really there. And like, it's not like the Star Trek writers were like, we're going to write this character and trans people are going to love her. Like, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
At all. I can guarantee it.
No, I don't think so.
But it's kind of nice that
it's a really great byproduct of that.
Yeah.
That a group of people got to feel represented.
Yeah.
Even if that wasn't the intention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was a good sentence.
Yeah.
Kor is still an ally because he keeps correcting people the whole time. Oh yeah, and then is Kor or Kang the one that's like, I'm gonna cut out his heart and eat it while he watches me with his dying breath?
I think that was Kang. He was the most hardcore out of all of them. He was so hardcore that, spoiler alert, he was fully like sending them all into a suicide mission to get this done.
That's true. And like,
and he didn't tell anyone.
He didn't tell them. Jadzia figured it out.
She figured it out because she's super smart.
Yeah.
She's a science lady.
She is a science lady. She's a science officer. I'm a
science officer.
Like the science, like she's the head.
Yeah. The science officer.
The science officer.
Which was so great also when they were like plotting their plan. And she was like, well, if Curzon. Well, if Curzon was here, you'd be out of luck. But Jadzia is a science officer. I was like, slay.
Right?
Kill it.
Women in STEM.
Women in STEM.
Why so many people become scientists because of the show. It's so...
Aww.
I love it. I wasn't one of them, but...
You're like, not me. Good for you, though.
But I was like, I'll be even more of an actor. So that's good.
Hey.
There you go.
Yeah.
Put me in Star Trek. Anyway. Okay, so then... When did we get to the fun girly time?
No, we didn't get to the fun girl. Well, we just mentioned the fun girly time.
When does she... Because she talks to one of the guys, is it Kang, that she's like, I'm going to do this. And he's like, it's my understanding that Trill have no prior commit, or like have no, like they're not bound to what the past yeah. Trill did.
Yeah.
So I release you. And yeah. she's like,
No.
That's not how this works.
Yeah. I can't remember if that's before or after. I think it might be right before.
Yeah.
Also, is the whole thing where she's like, I'm actually still your buddy who is a badass with this really... cool sword thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that before the girl time?
That's after the girl time because
she gets determined to do it.
Yeah, because I was in the room for the fun time girl talk, and then I went to get my laundry, and then I went to the bathroom, and while I was in the bathroom, it was the
right. Yeah, got it.
In case you were wondering what I was doing during this entire
fascinating, titillating. No, but yeah, so they have the girl talk time where Jadzia is like, how many people have you killed? She just comes straight out with that.
So
like,
out of
no
pocket.
No lead in whatsoever. She's just like, how many people have you killed? And she's like, what?
So, Kira is so taken off guard, but she also was like, a lot.
Too many. And then she continues asking questions.
Jadzia keeps going, and she's like, oh my god, sorry, like, I don't mean to make you uncomfortable. And Kira's like, I actually am uncomfortable.
Please stop. And she's like, okay. And then Kira's like, wait.
Are you thinking of killing someone?
Maybe I should investigate deeper. I don't know.
She's like, oh, hold on.
If my friend all of a sudden starts asking me about murder, I would have some concerns. But...
Right, it's like what they should have done in the Barbie movie when Barbie's like, do you ever think about dying?
Yeah.
And all of them are like, no. No, none of the other Barbies were like, hey.
Why?
You good?
Yeah. Nobody checked in on her.
No.
That was unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But Kira did.
Kira was like, hold on, tell me. And Jadzia was like, did the thing that I feel like a lot of women do where they're like, no, nothing, it's fine. It's fine.
Never mind.
And Kira was like,
clearly it's not fine. So please say something.
And that's when we learn about the albino.
He doesn't have a name.
Can we have a different name for him?
Steve?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's when
Steve's backstory.
We find out
with the other Klingons.
Yeah.
And he did this really crazy thing, I don't understand the beginning part of like the battle with the three captains and stuff. I didn't understand that. All I understood was that All I understood was that Steve lost the battle but escaped and vowed to get revenge.
Yeah.
Even though it was just that he lost the battle.
Yeah, but Klingons.
But Klingons, I guess. And so then Steve is like, I put a curse on all of the first children of these generals. And he injected a genetic disease or something into each one of them.
Their firstborn.
So that they didn't live very long.
Yeah. They, like, died.
So extreme.
Yeah.
Wow.
Klingons.
Just, like, 0 to 1,000.
Yeah.
Hello. Why are we doing this?
It's very, very Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even remember why they were having a battle.
That's what I was asking. I don't understand. They didn't really...
I'm remembering Jadzia's face when she's talking. I feel like it was like Steve.
Yep.
Was going out and like, for lack of a better word, pillaging different Klingon colonies.
Because they also, before the Klingons as a group, they were mentioning how, no, it was Kang was mentioning how he heard from Steve through one of Steve's like wives, question mark, who escaped him.
She
was like, I live in fear, something like that.
So he like helped her,
and then she ended up dying,
and then they, like, sent him an amulet.
Yeah.
With a location.
Yeah.
Which is, like, totally a trap. But when you're a Klingon, I feel like if it's a trap, oh, well, I'm still going to do it out because of honor.
Honor demands it.
Yeah.
I had to really fight against using a British accent there.
Why?
I don't know.
You can use a British accent on the podcast.
Honor demands it. It's not very good. Sorry to all the British people out there. Anyways, yeah. So honor is a really big thing for these Klingons.
Yes. Yeah. Honor and, like, dying well.
Dying well.
Okay, that is where my notes stop until the last scene.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so where are we?
So, well, I think, so we find out about Steve and what Steve did. Why everybody wants, or why these guys want to kill Steve. Oh, and so they made the blood oath.
The blood oath. Curzon made the
death of their children.
And Curzon was the godfather. He didn't have a child, but he was the godfather of Kang's child.
Yes.
So it was a really big deal for him.
Yes. And so, and then after that, is that when they go to the Holo Suite and Jadzia is like, give me the weapon that is this size? And
well, because right after that, Kang was like, that's when he was like, I understand with the Trill that, you know, you don't have to, you're not beholden to these promises that you made in your previous lives. So I'm not going to hold you. I release you.
Yeah.
And then Jadzia is like, you don't get to do that because it's still a big deal for me. And I owe it as Dax to Curzon because we were in this together. And so then she goes to try and convince the other people. So she goes to
Koloth?
The one who was drunk at the beginning.
Kor.
She goes to Kor, and it's really easy to convince him.
Well, Kor has been her ally this whole time. Kor is like, fuck yeah!
Yeah.
Dax is back!
Yeah, he's so stoked.
Like, Kor is more like, yes, this is Dax, as opposed to this is Jadzia versus Curzon.
Yeah.
Kor is like, this guy.
Like, my old friend who died. I'm so happy to see you again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so and he's also like, I'm really happy you're hot, too.
Yeah, also.
Which is kind of funny the whole time, because I feel like I, as a friend, sometimes with my friends, I'm like, you're so hot. Like, yeah. You're the best. And honestly, he's not giving predatory energy.
No, it's not. He's just, not with her.
Exactly.
There was that weird thing with the students, the history students.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that's where she convinced him. Because mm-hmm. he's sitting there at a bar with his arms around these two women. That are
oh,
like,
I forgot about that. I wasn't there.
Oh, yeah, you weren't there. So he's sitting at this bar and he's like, oh, my gosh, I wish I had another arm so that I could, like, wrap both of my arms around you two and also drink ale. And then she kind of shows up and, like, feeds him the ale. Like, and he goes, ah, that was very kind of you, blah, blah, blah. And then... And then she's like, can I have a minute alone with my friend? And he's like, these are two students of Klingon history. And she's like, uh-huh, buddy, sure. But I need to really talk to you. And so he's like, all right, see you later. And they walk off. And then mm-hmm. that's when she convinces him.
Yeah, I just...
Super easily.
I just remember her being like, and you call yourself a historian.
Yeah.
And he goes, ooh, you right.
You're kind of right, actually. Mm-hmm. You kind of ate me up with that.
Yeah.
So.
Because she does the whole episode.
She does. She's.
This yeah. is a Gen Z Dax episode where she is just, like, the best.
Yeah.
Simply.
She is great.
Simply put.
Simply the best.
Practically perfect in every way. In the musical Mary Poppins, they say practically.
Ew, I don't like that.
Neither did I.
Why do you add an extra syllable?
I don't know. I don't like it either.
It's not even in the movie.
I know.
Practically perfect in every way. Yeah, when she was like, and you call yourself a historian, she ate him up. Mm-hmm. And he was like, ah, oh, you're right. So, okay, you can come to battle with us, whatever. It's not a big deal. I'm just going to have so much fun fighting against my old buddy, fighting alongside my old buddy. And she's like, okay, will you help me convince the other two? And he's like, sure. Spoiler alert, he doesn't really do anything to help convince them at all. But, you know, it's the thought that counts.
Yeah.
So that's when she goes to the place and the guy is like practicing with this curvy blade thing.
That is called a batleth.
The batleth. Side note, I do not understand how that works.
That's okay.
As a weapon.
I think one of the prop guys like created and invented it. And like he choreographs like how it works.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a lot of like forward and then like... By moving yeah. fast, then your blade will go wacha.
Right.
But
and you like swing it like a baseball bat, kind of.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. So
I would like one in my room, honestly.
Ooh, I think you could put
like
ooh,
hanging. Put one over,
this is your Star Trek corner.
Yeah.
Put it over here. It'd look nice there, I think.
I think so too.
Yeah.
So
he's like practicing doing his little drills mm-hmm. Very dramatically in this like cave looking thing, and it's very dark, dimly lit. Mm-hmm. And she kind of walks up. It looks kind of like a music video, the way that it's shot, you know? She, like, kind of slowly walks up, like, off left of the camera. And she's like, I want to fight with you. And he's like, you can't fight. You're Jadzia. You're not Corazon.
You're just a little lady.
Yeah, you're just a little lady. And then she proceeds to spend, like, 5 minutes describing
the perfect specifications. I heard that. I heard that happen.
She spends like 5 minutes describing in detail what the weapon is so that the computer can make it. And then it appears in her hand. And then they start sparring. And she's like, ha ha ha, I am still your old friend. Look at how good I am. Remember? And then he wins. Mm-hmm. But he's like, you've won my respect.
Right.
Yeah. And this is the other guy. This isn't Kang.
No.
Who is, what's his name? I forget.
Koloth?
Koloth, yes.
Yeah.
And so he's...
They all have Ks.
They all have Ks.
That's confusing.
Koloth, Kang, and Kor. Yeah. And Curzon.
Curzon.
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Worf is just out there with, like, a a really cool not K name.
No.
Yeah.
Worf. I'm trying to think of other... Continue. Well, there's Moog. Oh, no, son of Moog. Oh, Worf is the son of... Anyway, keep going.
Well, that was his dad. What's Worf's son's name?
Alexander.
Oh, lol. I just said America. Okay, that's great. That's great. I love it. This is like also just like side note. Like, okay, so I love it when sci-fi, just like for the most part, they have these like really interesting names for things and titles mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. And then they'll have like the most basic, like just be like, and also this is James or whatever, like in Dune. I love that they have like all these crazy names mm-hmm. and then they're like, and this is Paul and Jessica and Duncan. Like, it's just like, because this is like, I don't know, thousands of years in the future.
Yeah.
How did these names persist? How?
That's how, like, honestly, yeah, characters from Star Trek, because, like, Beverly.
Yeah.
Beverly is still going to be popular in, like, 300 years. Beverly is not popular now.
No.
It is for your grandma. It is. There's
Grandma,
like,
Bev.
Yeah, exactly. Aww. But there's Beverly, and I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just love the implication that it's like, people are like, let's use these ancient names now.
Do you think that means that they're the ones with the really weird names in the universe?
Maybe.
I mean, to be fair, though, we do still name kids like Cleo.
That's
Cleopatra.
True. That's true.
And we do still name kids Alexander.
Maybe that one's just gonna.
But that was forever. Also not even that much long. Not even that much long ago.
Alexander the Great.
I mean, it was a long time ago, but I think it was shorter than how far in the future Star Trek is, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, when does Star Trek take place?
It's only like 22 something.
Oh, lol. Then no, but like for Dune, that's like so far in the future that I'm like, how do you still have these names?
That's Jessica.
Jessica. Duncan. Like, I could understand Paul, maybe, because of the religious context, but Duncan?
It's giving Shakespeare.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. So, they're fighting. he wins, but because she put up a valiant fight, she, like, has won his respect. Classic. Yeah. And he's like, oh, it will be an honor to fight with you. And then, Kang is in the shadows watching this, and he's like, I see that it is not enough to release you from your blood oath. I refuse to let you come with us. I forbid you. And she's like really sad about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he walks away.
How did she fix that? I don't remember.
Let's see if I can remember. Oh, I remember.
Tell me. I don't remember.
I remember. So she like goes, and they kind of sit down at this like little cafe looking thing. They're like at a little table. It's just them two. And she starts talking about some stuff that they had in common and how they became friends in the first place. And she was like, I knew that the only way to start a bond with you was to make you super angry. And he was like, yeah, you did. That worked. That was really smart. But I'm not going to let you come with us because just no. Just simply no.
Is it because he's sexist?
I don't think so.
Do you think if it was a different man, if it was a man instead, do you think he would have let him go? If it was like... if it was a Trill, but a man Trill?
He probably would have, actually. I don't know that much about Klingon culture. Do they, like, how do they feel about women fighting?
Klingon women can be warriors and stuff, but I feel like it might be how they view other species women.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Also, she is a science officer.
And she is...
not a warrior.
She is tiny. Person.
But I don't know.
But...
I mean, yeah, probably. That's probably an aspect. Hey, sorry. That's probably an aspect that was in the writers' minds when they were doing this, you know, that they're like, obviously they're not going to want her to go because she's a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. But. Yeah. So he's like, you can't come. I don't want you to come. And she's like, well, remember when we were friends and this is how I became friends and blah, 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 blah. And then she says something. I can't remember exactly what it is, but she starts making him angry again.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, do you think that same tactic would work on me twice? It won't. And she just kind of looks at him. And then she says something else that I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, fine, it worked. And like, literally, he like, fine. Well, yes, I am angry. Fine, you can come. Like, that's literally it. But the way he did it, it was like, fine. Fine, you made me angry now. Like, that was the vibe. But I think it was supposed to be, well, you'll see. You'll just see.
Yeah.
I think that was what it was supposed to be.
Klingons are so silly. Klingons are so silly.
They're a little bit sassy as well.
Yeah. You know, this episode, because sometimes I'm like, Klingon episodes are boring. I don't like them. But then other times I'm like, you know, they're kind of fun.
They're kind of fun.
I see the appeal. I see the Klingon appeal.
Would you ever learn Klingon?
You know, I do have it on my Duolingo app currently as we speak, but I also do not have the Duolingo app because that bird just shows up all the time and I don't.
Yeah.
It makes me feel bad as a person because I have a perfectionist complex, so I haven't continued to learn Klingon.
Yeah.
In conclusion. They offered Klingon at our university.
Did they?
Yeah. because
that's cool.
Yeah, who cares? We went to UCLA, and so
it's a really big school, and we don't go there anymore. So I think we're safe.
So did Leonard Nimoy.
Yes.
And so did George Takei.
And George Takei.
George Takei.
Takei, I think. George Takei. I thought it was George Takei, but
it's a lie. But
Leonard
they both
Nimoy and George Takei. But are you singing the Adam Sandler song?
I think it's George Takei.
Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Yeah, I know the song.
I was singing our version, the UCLA version.
Oh, the Bruin song. Right.
We don't need any USC song. Because we've got Sarah Bareilles.
Oh, yeah. I never actually knew that. That I kind of didn't learn it.
I didn't
on
learn
purpose.
It. I didn't learn it. But there's Leonard Nimoy and Spock and George Takei Sulu. Now I'm singing it both ways, so I don't really know. But anyway.
Well, I think they said George Takei, but what is the actual pronunciation?
That's better.
Yeah, it's going to drive me crazy. I'm not going to stop thinking about it.
But anyway, they both went to UCLA, and I don't know if that plays a role as to why they offer Klingon, but they do offer Klingon as a class.
Is Klingon the only language in Star Trek that has, like, a real linguistic...
I think so.
Situation, like, that is a real fake language?
I'm pretty sure.
Yay. Okay, so George Takei and Leonard Nimoy both went to UCLA, which is why we have Klingon.
I think.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Potentially.
Okay, so let's, you know, we're already 45 minutes. Let's,
wow.
Let's jump to the...
To the end?
To the big battle.
To the big battle.
No.
Okay.
She talks to Ben Sisko. After all the Klingons let her come.
Yeah.
She talks to Ben Sisko, and Ben Sisko is like, Jadzia... Don't do it.
It's against Federation.
Don't do it.
It's against Federation law.
Don't
to kill
do
someone,
it.
Don't do it.
And she just goes. She goes.
She's just like, don't make me disobey a direct order.
Yeah.
And he just kind of looks at her and she's like, I have a responsibility. And he just lets her go. So mm-hmm. He could have stopped her if he really wanted to.
Yeah.
But I think he understood the importance.
Yeah. Especially...
Which then makes me feel like you don't have the right to look at her with such disappointment at the end.
Mm-hmm. And also, she didn't even really kill anybody.
She didn't even kill anyone.
So, like.
Also,
put
this
away your
guy
judgment.
Was, and he was a bad guy. So, like, let her avenge her family. You know?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't, yeah.
Yeah.
Just let her. Just let her be. Leave her alone.
Leave her alone.
Leave.
Leave who alone?
No.
Leave who alone? You wanted to say it and then you didn't. What's her name? That's okay. It's Jadzia. So she goes to the thing.
So she goes, and they have, and they're on the way. They're in the ship, and they, the two guys, Kor and the other guy,
Koloth.
Yeah, they're like, let's go sharpen our blades, and they go, and she's like, wait a minute, I feel like there's something fishy going on. You were a little bit weird. And I feel like you're leading us into a trap because this seems very out of character for you that you wouldn't let me, like, you really wouldn't want to let me come on this trip. On this trip, like, it's vacation. But, like, that you really wouldn't let me come on this trip. Like, that seems really fishy. And so she basically figures out that he knows that they're completely outnumbered and that there's no way that they're going to win. But he still wants to go to avenge his son and to die honorably in battle. And she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm a science officer now, so we actually have way more resources and brain power to
she's
create
like,
a plan.
I'm actually way smarter now, yeah. So I can help build a better plan because what you've got going on is
yeah,
chaos.
It's not. It's not good. For any Marvel fans out there, I don't know if that's a... Are you okay? Don't die.
I won't.
For any Marvel fans out there, I don't know if that's blasphemous to say on a Star Trek podcast, but...
You can talk about whatever. We talk about all kinds of shit.
In like, what was it, Endgame, I think, when Captain Marvel shows up, and they're all like, respectfully, lady, who are you, and why are you here, and what gives you the right to make plans? And she's like, well, last time, you didn't have me. Like, that was the vibe, when Jadzia was like, guys, I'm really smart now, so.
But also, I mean, she is.
She is.
She's on her, like, seventh or eighth lifetime now.
Yeah.
So it's like, she
and
does
And also,
have...
she specifies in science.
Yeah.
Which... is very general, but also probably really useful.
Yeah. No, I think she does have a particular science.
Yeah.
And they just don't talk
about it. But she says that she's a science officer.
She's like, I do science.
Yeah. And that's when she was like, yeah, if you had Kurz on, that would be a problem. But Jadzia is a science officer. So then they start hatching a plan. And she has to basically tell Kang, like, listen, man. We don't have to die, because they were like, today is a good day to die. And she was like, what is all this talk about dying? Like, we don't need to die. Like, we could, you know, come up with a plan that might work.
That's a very common Klingon phrase. That's like the Klingon catchphrase. Right. That's their motto. Today is a good day to die, whether it's in battle because we win, in battle because we lose, in battle against just one other guy. Like, today is a good day to
die. Today is a good day to die. And then so she, like, talks to them. She kind of gives this, like, little speech and plan and stuff. And then they're like, maybe today is a good day to live.
Oh.
It was so cute.
It's so
cute. I almost shed a tear. And so then they go down onto the planet and they start, like, reconnaissance. And they come up with a plan. And I'm going to skip over that because it's a lot.
They just are like, we need a diversion and this, and let's find out if he's in there.
And she's like,
I'll go ask someone.
Yeah, I'll go ask someone. What's my favorite part? They're like, how do we know if he's actually in the building? And then Korloth is like, is that his name? Korloth?
Okay, so there's Kor and Koloth.
Koloth. Okay. And Koloth is like, what if I just go ask someone?
That's like one of those moments where it's like, can we do that? It's very like, what if I just go open the door?
Yeah.
What if I just go see if it's open?
Yeah. What if I just go check, maybe? Yeah. So he goes and asks, and he's like, okay, so I just came back. I talked to my buddy, and he was like, he is in there, guys. So we're go. And then at some point they're like, oh, we gotta create a distraction in the armory so that this bomb goes off and, like, doesn't go off when we go in there.
And she's like, there's a lot of, like, moving parts.
Yeah. And she says this thing where she's like, yeah, like, you guys are all old, but I'm really young and spry, so I'm gonna do that.
So I'll do it. I'll run.
Yeah. I'll run really quick and do that.
She hates them so much in this.
I know. She's just, like, constantly coming for their necks. Like,
I mean, that's Jadzia.
Yeah.
I love her.
She's great. So then they do that, and then there's, like, kind of a final battle. And this is the first time that we see Steve. And he's, like, he's freaking out. He has a crazy, like, pompadour hair thing going
Steve
on.
Steve is the albino, if you forgot.
Yeah. And he's like, I was not prepared for how prepared they are. And he's like, check for a ship that's being cloaked, and our phasers aren't working, and yada, yada, yada. And so he's kind of panicking. And then as he's panicking, like, the lights go out, and the four of them kind of, like, come out through the smoke, and then they start fighting everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, like, a whole battle thing. And then one person gets killed. I forget who it is. Kor?
Kor
gets stabbed. And then they're fighting more. And then Kang and Steve are going back and forth with each other. And Jadzia's just kind of there with her thing.
Her bat left.
And she's kind of kicking ass. And Koloth is not really... I don't know where he was. He kind of popped in and out.
Yeah.
Because when Kor got stabbed, he went and, like, helped him. But yeah, it kind of just cuts between Kang and Jadzia for a bit after Kor passes. And then, like, Kang, like, kind of throws Steve around, and then Steve gets the upper hand and then stabs him. And then Kang is like, oh, no. And he kind of falls down. And then Jadzia sees that, and she's like, no! And she tries to go with her thing and with her weapon, and she puts it up against his neck, and he's like, you're not going to kill me, little lady.
And there you don't have the guts. There is a moment where it's like, is she going to do it? Is she going to defy the Federation
over?
Like, but then...
Yeah, and she does this thing where she, like, shifts the blade a little bit so that it's closer, because, like, he puts his neck, like...
Like, in the spot.
In the little spot that's for someone's neck, I guess.
it was a perfect fit.
Yeah, it was. I think maybe it's meant to, like, decapitate people. Yeah,
probably.
So he's daring her to do it. He's like, you're not gonna do it. You're a woman and you're a Federation officer, so you're not gonna do it. And so she's like, she's kind of, like, shaking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my god, is she going to kill him? She's going to defy the Federation. And then all of a sudden, Steve goes, and then falls down. And then Kang is like, thank you for giving me that honor of, like, killing Steve.
Yeah.
Jadzia's like, no problem, man. And then that's kind of like the end, low-key.
The one thing that gets me is when he's like, today is a good day to die, blah, blah, blah.
And oh, yeah, he does, like, at the end. He's like, maybe today was a good day to die.
And she says, but it's not a good day, or it's never a good day to lose a friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really so sad.
That was really tough.
And then, yeah, that's pretty much the end.
That's pretty much the end.
She goes back and everybody looks at her.
Like, stares at her with, like, judgment.
Which she didn't even do it. She did not even do it.
She didn't.
She didn't
do it. She thought about it.
But she didn't.
But she didn't. And I feel like that counts for something.
I think so, too.
Because, like, how do you know that you're never going to do something until you're actually given the chance to
do it?
That's not a very great...
No, it's really not.
That's not good.
Don't listen to us, yeah. Please.
This is not an advice podcast. Okay?
We're not... Please don't murder.
Listen to us.
Do not go out and try to avenge...
No murdering people.
This is make-believe. This is not real.
Yes. And also, I feel like as actors, we approach things from the lens of, like, the character a lot. So please keep that in mind as well.
Oh, yeah. We're both actors, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so she goes back and they're all staring at her with judgment and she didn't even do it, but whatever, and she's like got her head down. I feel bad.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you should have your head held high. Like, you didn't do it. You got revenge. You achieved, you fulfilled the blood oath. You got revenge for your godson.
And your friends
died in battle, which is something that they wanted to do.
Yeah.
Which it's not great. It's not, but like that was the type of death that they wanted, because earlier in the episode, I forget who it was, but one of them was asking her how Curzon died, and they were like, did he die in battle? And she was like, no, he died in a hospital room,
like, yeah,
fighting against all the nurses and stuff who were just trying to keep him alive for one more day. And they're like, oh, that really sucks. Like,
they were,
damn.
It was like the Klingon, like, cause, ooh.
You're like, ooh.
That sounds awful.
Sounds really bad.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. Ooh, that was, okay, we're just going to pretend that that didn't happen. So yeah, but
yeah.
So they got to have their honorable death.
She did.
And she got to fulfill her oath. And
yeah. Yep. Okay, what was your, or who was your favorite character?
I really liked all of them. I think, okay, my favorite character maybe was Kor. He's just kind of silly, goofy guy.
He was just a silly drunk man.
Yeah. And he was just always down, you know?
I was hoping you were going to say Kor, honestly.
Yeah, and he was just always down. And that was the other thing that she said. Like, she said during when she confronted Kang about, like, this whole plan. She was like, something fishy is going on. She said, she was like, these two guys are blinded by their loyalty to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of admire that with Kor, that he was just like, he was down for his friends. And that he was like, he was a real ride or die.
Yeah. For Jadzia, for everyone.
For Kang, for mm-hmm. everyone. Yeah. So I liked him.
Yay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Masai, for joining me on this podcast episode.
I'm glad.
Where we watched Blood Oath.
Was this just like the best episode ever? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Glad I could give that to you. You're welcome.
Thanks.
That is a joke, by the way, for those of you who... Sorry. Anxious, I don't know.
No, you're fine. All right. You can find us on Instagram at Brides of Chaotica Pod, and if you want to email us, you can email us at bridesofchaotica@gmail.com. Please be nice to us. Elizabeth and I are very anxious, and if you decide to send us an email, just be kind. And just tune in next week to find out which Brides of Chaotica episode I'm going to have Elizabeth watch next. I believe, it's that episode. It's a surprise. All right. Bye.
Somehow I feel comfortable here.
I'm like looking at this like it's a documentary camera. Hi. I'm like.
Like we're Jim from The Office.
Always.